Satnam, everybody, on the eve, on the beautiful auspicious eve of the second Uranus-Pluto square. And we were just chatting together with everybody, the Shakti activation, now it's the miracle circle, about how quickly it happened. For those of you that have been following the story, the breaking news, how quickly it happened that Lucia is actually out of Uruguay and on her way to the U.S. Yay! And she's going to be staying with Arit for a while, recovering, communing with nature, reconnoitering, reassessing, and rejuvenating, and eventually going back to Los Angeles. So thank you, everybody, and we're just acknowledging the miracles of working together and the miracles of Guru Ram Dass and the golden chain and all the pieces that fit together, that we can work together to create these miracles and hold each other in our hearts and make things happen for each other and for the world. And we're going to talk today more, since tonight actually at or early morning, 12:30 on the West Coast and 3:30 a.m. on the East Coast, we have the exact second Uranus-Pluto square, which, as we've been talking about, are generational energies, which means that this particular configuration that's happening on the planet affects a whole generation, and it creates generational changes. And we've been talking about that this square happened 500 years ago during the time of the Renaissance, and we have seven, and it happened during the 60s, and now we have seven of these squares. And astrologers don't know when or if these seven squares have ever been in this particular configuration with the planet before. And why don't they know that? Because these three outer planets have basically been the last planets to be discovered by astrologers. So they're the slowest moving planets, and they take a long time to rotate around the sun. So it's not even known if we've had seven Pluto-Uranus squares aspecting the Earth before. They're the three outer planets, which are called the invisible planets, are Neptune, Uranus, and Pluto. And of course, Pluto is the farthest one out. The farthest one out in the galaxy. And So they take a long time to go around the sun. So we know the Earth takes how long to go around the sun? 365 days, right? And we know that that Jupiter takes 12 years to go around the sun. Uranus takes 84 years to go around the sun. Neptune takes 164 years to go around the sun, and Pluto takes 246 years to go around the sun. So Pluto is the most distant planet that's been discovered so far. And these outer three planets have to do with affecting what's inside us. They're called the invisible planets, but called the outer planets, but they really have to do with our inner selves, our own inner configurations. So with this square of the two outer planets, square meaning friction, or that which something has to move, basically. If you think of something, that the different configurations, you think of like a circle or something, you know, like a tire, you get it rolling and it goes. But with a square, if things are opposing each other at 90 degrees, something has to shift for those planets to move, and those planets are moving, and they're forcing evolutionary change. They're forcing us to see the world in a new way. They're forcing us to configure our own psyches so that there can be a new world, a new consciousness on the planet. So we, at this point, are the ones that are being reconfigured. We're all up on the drawing board. We're all being reworked. We're being remade at this time. So, you know, that's what we're looking at. We're looking at this square 90-degree aspect, which is normally labeled friction, where if there's a trine, it creates harmony, opposition is tension, polarization, conjunction is a synthesis, and a sextile is something that excites or stimulates the situation, but a square creates friction. So we saw that, you know, since Lucia's not on the phone, she said, "You'll probably be talking about me. My ears will be burning if she couldn't get a Wi-Fi connection." She's such a good example to use, and she's not here. She's a good sport. She's a great sport. She's such a part of the team. That was a great example of a great amount of friction, and something had to move. She had to get out of there. It was no longer a good situation for her. There was lots of things going on that were not comfortable for her at all. And so when we all focus on it and banded together, focusing our consciousness, getting together, sharing our resources, whatever we needed to do, all of a sudden something shifted, and it was almost like she got popped out of there, like you're popping the cork on a bottle or something, so that the champagne bubbles could come out and we could all celebrate and she could be freed, she could be released. And that's such a good example of what's happening right now on the planet. It's like things with the energy of Uranus, I call it the Kundalini planet. Uranus is that planet that has to do with individuation, with individual identity, which has to do with claiming what about you makes you an individual, separate from what you've been, how you've been told to behave, or what you've been told that you are in relationship to society or in relationship to the culture. So when our Kundalini gets activated, we are just living in this electric energy of truth. And when something's not of the truth or of the power of the truth, then the energy stops. It basically go somewhere else. It's Kundalini energy and Sat Nam and Wahe Guru are all in a live electric energy, like electricity moving through our systems. So with this energy, with this electricity moving through our systems, we are being recalibrated and called upon and asked to really consolidate with our own individual higher selves, our own divine selves. What is our unique gift or contribution that we are being asked to make, or that we want to bring forth? What's the truth that we want to live in inside ourselves, within ourselves, that is not about the world around us? And this is where we may come into conflict with the world around us, where we may be not agreeing with the structures that have been set up on the planet. And that's where Pluto comes in. Pluto's that which takes us deep inside. It's the most outermost planet, so it takes us into our deepest depths of ourselves and questions. What is your deepest truth? So between electrifying the Kundalini energy, really questioning what is me and what is social conditioning that's told me I have to be a certain way. So with the questioning of our relationship to society or social conditioning, with the square to Pluto, it's saying you will redefine yourself in this moment. And because it's generational and cultural, the whole culture of the world is being asked to redefine itself. And so it's very explosive, as we've seen in world events. There's a lot of explosive world events and things going on in the news and everything. which we don't need to go into here, but we can look at, you know, something like the Occupy movement, which is a year old, which is a year old at this point, and saying that was kind of the start of this Uranus-Pluto square, people leaving their houses and saying something has to change, and just protesting the societal structures that are no longer serving the people, not like banks in the 50s or maybe even the 60s, you know, your local businesses where you go in and they know you and they actually give you a loan to start a business and you pay that bank back. Everything became so corporate and out of control, and with a few people getting control at the top, that it created a great imbalance for many people on the planet. And so Pluto has to do with debt and using how to use the resources on the planet. So it's not only the actual resources on the planet, like how we use money or how we use the resources of Mother Earth, like food, like how we deal with food or things like that. It's how do we use our inner resources, how do we calibrate to the truth of our inner resources to bring forth rebalancing, reconstructing a new culture that's 4D and beyond. So we've been talking about this on our calls, and it's everywhere around us, and I'm sure this is what you've seen in all of your other, you know, studies and everything. But this is the moment. This is the second of seven Uranus-Pluto squares where things are being pushed through, the cork's being popped. So, again, it's friction. It's a roller coaster. You may be having confrontational conversations with someone. I actually did yesterday, and then I thought, wait, I'm teaching this stuff. I'm studying these things. I shouldn't have engaged in that kind of conversation. I should have said, let's wait a few days. But in another way, it was totally perfect because really deep truths were coming out, even though it was heated and frictional. And then I also had, you know, a couple other personal experiences. There was someone I had some unfinished financial business with from actually a long time ago, somebody I'd been in partnership, and I emailed them and asked for a resolution about that, and actually got a favorable response back, like there's a possibility we could move forward on resolving that. So that kind of surprised me. So there's a couple personal examples for me of this energy just pushing through to create a balance. We do have the moon in Libra today. So with all the friction, you know, the question to ask is, what's going to create that balance? What's going to come out of this friction that these planets are creating? And what comes out of that, what we bring forth, the truth that we speak, the actions that we take, have the power to create a new outcome, as we did with Lucia. As we did the meditations and focused our intentions, we're accessing the quantum field. So what we're doing is we're moving into the consciousness of the quantum field of the higher dimensions beyond 3D. And as we focus on the quantum field, on the field, and seed into the field, that's which we want to bring forth into 3D. That's what happens. So it's really a reversal of fortune. The reversal is that the cultural conditioning is you're born into a certain culture, a certain way of being. You're told in school, you're told by your parents, do this, do that, follow this, follow that, go to school, learn this, learn that. So that's being told how to fit into the current culture. So the reversal of fortune that the configuration of these planets are telling us, as we actually create from the quantum field with our intentions, with our focus, with our meditations, with raising the frequency around our passions and our desires, that will then come through into 3D, which is what happened with Lucia. We focused our intentions with her, saw a different outcome, and then that outcome came through. So it wasn't like we said, okay, we're just going to go, you know, visit Lucia in this situation in Uruguay and wish her well. No, we changed the outcome. She was stuck there. She didn't know how to get out. She didn't think that situation could be resolved. So it's really fun to have that example to use. But this is exactly what's happening with this reversal of fortune. So when this happens with these seven times between 2012 and 2015, we're only on the second one. So by the time we get to 2015, we're going to be operating, a lot of people are going to realize that we're operating in a world where we have to and want to and enjoy taking responsibility for what we create, and we have a possibility to actually create a world that we want to live in. So we do have this ability to work, to have the power for the invisible to become visible through our choice, through what we bring forth, through what we self-actualize. So these planets have to do with the final self-actualizing form. So as we work with Uranus, the one that takes 84 years to move around the sun, this has to do, you know, as I was saying, with our own individual development. It's our capacity to question authority, the capacity to question authority. You know, sometimes it's scary, like it was scary for Lucia to go into that office with having to get her papers and really question and saying, hey, you know, wait a minute here. You know, I need my papers. That was really scary for her. And so it has to do with the transcendence of cultural and social programming. So we're breaking through the matrix, breaking through social programming. And the dysfunction of this planet is stubbornness, inflexibility, touchiness, quirkiness, unreliability, irresponsibility, selfishness, insensitivity to other people's needs and feelings, inability to learn from others. So things like that. So you may notice quite a few of these dysfunctional qualities in the world around us, but that's what we're breaking through. So if we want to ask ourselves what the relevant questions at this time on the planet and for us as we move into the development of our individuality, the main questions of Uranus would be, what part of life is most important to me? What am I willing to do? How am I willing to function in a way that basically questions authority or where I don't need social approval? You know, what if I do something that other people don't like, kind of thing? And what do I need to learn to break the rules and follow my own path? What do I need to do? What is it about me? And where will I... And you look around and ask yourself, you know, and I've done this many times, you know, where am I going to actually take my direction from? And this has a lot to do with, you know, meditating and tuning into our inner guidance so that we're not being misled by forces outside of us, away from who we really are. And what can I really trust that's a match for what's inside of me? What is my individual authority telling me that I can trust outside of me? So we're questioning the external authorities, and we're really learning to move into really aligning with our internal authority. So when the planets retrograde, it has to do with moving into fantasies, things that aren't real. So, you know, we don't really need to go into that a lot, but just be aware that the retrograde part of Uranus has to do with living a fantasy life while the external behavior remains the same. So where we're not expressing our power and our actions and in the world or what we really want to take action on to change, we're imagining it. And imagination is good at the beginning if we make an intention and visualization, but to not take action over a long period of time, then things become fantasies. So we're looking for the kind of breakout behavior. You know, one example could be that movie One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, when the inmates, so to speak, challenged the authority, and they, what did they do? They jumped out of the window of the asylum, and they commandeered a fishing boat, and everybody was really glad for them that they broke out of the insane asylum. They questioned authority. They broke out of the matrix. So it was the untamable quality of Uranus, the planet of individuality. It's kind of a complicated individuality and freedom. So a little bit of a tongue twister there. So what is important? What's something that's spontaneous and wild inside of you that has nothing to do with the structure of society, like dancing naked in the rain? I just was looking at a Facebook post from a friend of mine who said, dance naked. I think he was at a retreat over the weekend and they got kind of wild, but I haven't talked to him about it. But so there's a couple things that break the cultural norm. So what makes your heart sing, I guess, is one way to say it, is the influence of the planet Uranus. And then squaring Pluto, so we'll talk about that for a minute. So Pluto, the Pluto is when you realize your own destiny because you've connected with your own individuality. So you're not living out of, you know, just being pushed from one kind of thought form or place to the other. It's the really embracing of one's destiny, and it's the recognition of what's important to you, what's a trivial pursuit, and what's really important to you. So it's the development of this capacity to really connect with what the Sat Nam of the situation is, to discern the truth. So the dysfunction of this is people that are really, you know, power hungry, power over, and also violence and you know, people that are really hungering for power. So this is what's being questioned and broken up now. So you really want to look at, you know, questions like what is really significant? What's important? You know, what's the Dharma in your life? And what's going to be something that really takes you from the individual personality level to an archetypical level. So Pluto brings up our deepest, darkest fears. So once we transcend those phobias or personality fears, what we do is we move into the realm of the transcendent being. And then you become a being that basically creates a space for others to follow. And the planet Pluto itself, like any astrological influence, is not necessarily saying it's good or evil. But two examples of Plutonian personalities are Adolf Hitler and Mahatma Gandhi, and those two examples are polar opposites, where Gandhi became totally transpersonal and became known as for his nonviolence, for leading India out of slavery, out of colonial control. And Hitler, of course, went the other direction. So, you know, the Pluto influence forces us to go through our individual psyche and get clear about what archetype we're going to align with. So we become archetypical figures, which gives us more power. So it's really important when we do that Uranian individuation that we're clear about our value system. So when we align with the most outer planet, the cold, icy, archetypical planet, that we are clear about what archetype we're becoming, because as we drop our personality, we become more and more archetypical. And then we can also become more of an inspiration for others as we stand for the truth, and the truth that's beyond our level of personality. So that's what these planets are saying. We're standing for something that's beyond the level of the personality. We're standing for something that's beyond the fleeting cultural norm, something that's going to stand the test of time. So we're looking at building this whole new Aquarian culture with basically our individual strength, our individual power, as we join together in this field, into the quantum field. So we're choosing as individuals to step into this quantum field, and when we do, then we're together. We feel the strength of the field, the strength of the ether running through us. So we're not really alone, but it takes an individual strength to surrender, to move into the quantum field, to surrender all of our hang-ups and fears and phobias. And those are actually good things to surrender. So Yogi Bhajan is a great example of someone who stood in the face of truth, in the face of darkness, and of course we have lots and lots of songs and everything about that. So he's nodding his head and saying, yes, that's what we're going through, and it's good to know. So this is the second one, so if your head and third eye isn't spinning yet, between now and 2015, we have five more of these, but this is the exact moment to basically move into the power, reset. It's a frequency reset moment. So our next square, the third one, is May 20th, 2013, and then the fourth one is November 1st, 2013, then November 23rd, 2013, and then we got two in 2014, and then 2015. So we've got, you know, a few more to go over this whole period of time when we are working together to transform the world. So wanted to go a little bit more in depth into what we're actually working with. And last week we were given the meditation of Sahaihoa as part of our homework, so we're being asked to work with that mantra again, and you can continue the alternate nostril breathing if you like, and sitting with your palms open to receive the blessing as the same guidance from Yogi Bhajan this week. Okay, so we're going to go into our Atsaihoa, into that field of unity. Thank you. open, bring your breath up to the third eye, project light into the etheric, the quantum field, bringing light to the darkness, the lightness of truth, truth of the light, and exhale all the way down to the crystalline frequency of Mother Earth, energizing the center of the earth, and bringing that energy all the way back up through your feet, through your body, and into the etheric field. Kundalini energy, the Uranus energy, the Pluto energy. Knowing that even in this moment, you're influencing the etheric field. Power of creation is within you. And let it go, let it go, let it go. Slowly come back. Beautiful. Excellent. And if anybody would like to share or make comments about what they're experiencing, what they experienced, their questions, or what they feel about the energies that we're talking about, now would be the time. Or if you're absorbed in the void, the etheric field, that's good too. So would anybody like to share anything before we complete today?
Satnam, this is Sharon.
Hi, Sharon.
What you were talking about on the call Tuesday with the planetary energies and also in your personal life too, it's just, you know, it's so perfect as what's happening with me right now with the, you know, long time relationship and just wanting to leave, but it's not socially. Oh my God, what is she doing? You know, and it's just so appropriate, and I'm so glad that, you know, I'm having help of the planets with this as well. So I just had to share that.
I'm so glad you did. Thank you. Yeah, it's kind of a relief to at least know what's going on in the energetic arena for so long.
Well, I read about it, but yes, you know, but hearing you say that too, it's like, oh, yes, you know, that, you know, I'm right on, you know, even though sometimes you doubt yourself, you think, wow, you know, but, you know, it's just, you know, but actually, I know it in my heart, you know, but it's just like, just hearing it is reassuring. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you, Sharon. Anybody else like to share planetary experiences in the personal realm? Well, we know we're all being affected, and it's good to know what we're dealing with. So, thank you, everybody. You have your same homework assignment as last week.
Dear Karen, it says, Pete, I also wanted to make note that in doing everything, sending the energies to Lucia, I was also including my dad in that as well. And it was interesting how when things started to move for her, awful things started moving with my dad as well. So I just wanted to thank everyone for the energy because it was good for him too. Things are soaking up for him.
Oh, great. Good. Yeah, thanks for letting us know.
And I also wanted to ask you, the person you mentioned earlier, is her name Barbara in Australia?
Barbara, she's in Australia, okay. And she wants to move back to Switzerland where she's from, and she'd like to be put in the miracle circle. She's got, you know, some animals that need to go with her, so that's making it, you know, kind of more expensive for her to relocate, but that's what she's wanting some support with, so thank
okay.
you. She's a really great lady. She's a healer. Like I said, she's on Skype, so I'm thinking you can get on her call, but I'm sure she'll feel the energy.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, anybody else before we complete for today?
No, I just want to say one word. In conjointed heart, we are.
Yes, we are.
Satnam.
Satnam. Okay, everybody, thank you. We'll be back.
Thank you, Jerry. Thank you, Master.
Thank you, Yogi Bhajan.
Yes, thank you.
Satnam. deactivators. But num.
Bye.
Num.
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 What are you doing? What happened to the charger? How many times?
Transfers my photos into my Sarah gave it to me.
Into
my computer. But it's also a charger, right?
It can be charged.
So it would transfer music and videos too? I have to think it. I'm like, Mr. Big Gadget over here.